Welcome to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD, where we get the dirt on food and farming in the Four Corners area and beyond. I'm your host, Kelly Pettigen, and I'm very excited to be on the phone today with Liz Wyden and Rebecca Osgood, who are calling in from Antarctica. First on the phone is Liz Wyden, who is a research associate at McMurdo Station in Antarctica. So welcome to the show, Liz.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Liz, set the scene for us down there at McMurdo Station. What's the weather like right now? How much light do you have? What's going on?
Well, right now we just started our winter season, so it is currently minus 23 Fahrenheit out,
wow.
Although we're expecting a storm to come in tonight, which will drop our wind chills down to minus 60 Fahrenheit. We have about 19 days of sunlight left, so we're seeing the sunrise around 9 a.m., and it stays really low in the horizon and sets about 4 today, but I think it's April 24th. We will not see the sun again.
Wow. And so, Liz, you and I first met when we were working at McMurdo during a summer season in 2012 and 13. And during the summer, the sun never sets, and it's relatively warm. But like you said, you're headed into the winter season. How are you preparing for that mentally and physically? I mean, we're talking, what, about 6 months of no sun?
It ends up being about 4. And
okay.
What's kind of nice here is, at least for a couple weeks, we kind of have, like, constant sunset colors. So it's not, you don't go into dark right away. And I actually grew up in the north. I grew up in Milwaukee, which is the most far north, but it's a little further north than the rest of the country. And I always tell myself that it's like the days when I was young where I'd wake up in the dark and go to school and come home in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's like a cozy winter feeling because it just reminds me of like Christmas time and, you know, just being like snow and warm buildings. So I actually find the darkness very comforting, and I keep that mindset. People deal with it in different ways, but that way seems to be the easiest for me. And then most people will tell you staying active in any way, just making yourself get out of your room, going for a walk all bundled up. Just being active is a good way to combat it. SAD tends to be a common thing here, the seasonal affective disorder. So trying to eat right is key, but Rebecca will talk about that later. And then being active is another way to help that.
Great. And it seems like they do a good job of keeping people active. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the kind of shenanigans and celebrations that happen down at McMurdo to kind of keep people motivated and energized?
Yeah, so we have a rec department here. So we actually have 3 gyms. So you can play basketball or soccer if you can gather enough people to go do that. We have a weightlifting gym, and keep your strength up. And then we also have a fitness room. And currently we don't have yoga, but that might be starting up again. We get volunteer teachers from the community. And last winter we had 4 yoga sessions a week in the winter just because people were pretty popular. Other than that, we do outdoor activities. So last year we did ice carving. Some people just did a downhill skiing trip. We do have a bar and a coffee house. So there's some social scenes as well.
Can you tell us a little bit about,
yeah.
About Ice Dock or Freezing Man, some of the summer events?
Oh, well, of course. So in the summer, we tend to have the bigger events. So we have MOG, which is our art show. So everyone creates lots of creative art, and it's a big deal. We have Ice Dock, which is all-day bands. I think they start at 2, and then they end at midnight, and it's an outdoor stage. So it's not too cold, maybe like 20 degrees Fahrenheit. But everyone just bundles up and has a good time and listens to music. We love costume parties down here, our Halloween costume party, and people are very, very elaborate and creative with their costumes. So that's always exciting. I think part of it's being isolated down here. It really forces you to be creative, and then we just tend to get the most creative people down here as well.
I think that's true. So you've been coming back to Antarctica for a few seasons. What keeps you coming back?
Two things. This place is just absolutely gorgeous. I'm on my 5th season, and I have not got tired of seeing the mountains. The occasional penguins, pretty exciting. We had some 2 days ago. We had some emperor penguins wallow through the sea ice. Just watching the sea ice change, it's gorgeous down here. And in the winter, you have auroras and stars like you wouldn't believe. In the, like, between times, we have fantastic sunrises and sunsets. And the other big thing is the community down here is really fantastic. I describe it to people a lot as kind of like going to college, where you go to work, and then after the end, you kind of don't have that many responsibilities, so it's really fun. People start bands, like you just hang out, and again, this place just attracts the most amazing people. And then on the job side of it, I actually get to support science, and I love feeling so useful. I love being able to put my skills to something that I think is so great, because the science down here is pretty fantastic as well.
Oh, perfect. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the science, like maybe one or two projects that you are supporting during the winter?
So during the winter, we have, I think, 15 projects. We have a couple instruments that look at auroras, so they're looking at the presence of auroras. We have, and they vary from visible cameras to just looking at auroral wavelengths, which are, I think, really cool. They're photometers, so they just look to see if the light's there. And then we have someone looking for gravity waves. They have an infrared camera that looks at the iron up in the sky, and it's actually extremely cool looking. If you can visualize, like, waves flowing across this lens, that's what these gravity waves look like.
Wow. Wow, very cool.
Yeah.
All right, I think we have to go to break soon, but I want to squeeze in one more question. Liz, what is the biggest thing that you are missing from the mainland right now?
Me, personally, I love milk, so I miss milk the most. We have powdered milk here, which some people get by on, but as I said, I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, so I really, really like my milk. So that's the part that I miss the most and the thing that I can't wait to get back to.
Not the answer I was expecting, but I like it. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Rebecca Osgood, who used to cook and bake in Antarctica. And we are back with more of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. I'm Kelly Pettigen, your host, and I am on the phone with Rebecca Osgood, who is calling in from Antarctica. So welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Rebecca, you used to work as a cook and baker in the galley at previous seasons in McMurdo, is that correct?
It is.
Okay, and what are you doing this winter?
I'm now a work order scheduler. It means that I process all the paperwork for work that happens on station.
Okay, great. Well, let's get back to your previous seasons when you were in the galley. Just because we're a food show, so we're kind of curious about how you guys eat and live down there. So what kind of food did you have to cook with, and where was it coming from?
All of our food comes from the States. It all gets packaged up and sent down once a year, so we have just one supply vessel. So there's like a set menu, and you go through those 5 weeks, and there is a little area for creativity, but not much, because you don't want to run out of certain ingredients, because you won't get those again for a whole other year. We also get fresh food in from New Zealand. That's such an awesome treat when we get that, having bananas and apples and lettuce. It improves station morale 100 times fold.
Can you tell us a little bit about when people get these freshies, or how often people are asking for them, or do you get them during the winter?
Oh, we get them during the winter now. We have a few winter flights, so we should have a flight sometime the next week or so that'll bring us a few freshies that we're very excited to get more lettuce and stuff on. I think everyone, whenever there's a flight coming in, it's like, oh, does this flight have freshies on it? I think everyone is always asking for every flight.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine. So when you were working during the summer seasons, you were there for Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas. Does the galley do anything special for these holidays, for the meals?
Yeah, we do special meals for Thanksgiving and Christmas. We separate out the galley into separate dining meals, so each person gets to pick which meal they want to come to, and they get an hour time slot there where they come in. And then we serve what would be multiple days' worth of food during that time. So it's like just like Thanksgiving at home. We're like, there's way more food than I could ever eat. And we do that four times over on Thanksgiving and Christmas. We're serving about 250 people per meal. So it's kind of this like race against the clock, like get everyone in and fed and enjoyed and then kind of chase them out the door so we can get the next round in. It makes for a really long day for us.
Oh, I bet. And is it a lot of like familiar foods? Like, do you feel like it helps with like the homesickness that maybe some people are feeling during the holidays?
Oh man, yes. We shoot for all the traditional things. So Thanksgiving, we've got the whole turkey spread and all that goodness. Anything that might be your home tradition, we try and make it. And then at Christmas, we do the same thing. So it's all over the board, from like roast to lobster to risotto, any sort of like thing that you might read in a holiday magazine saying, oh, here's a traditional meal. We're trying to do some sort of Antarctic spin on that to
wow.
make you feel at home.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are putting in a lot of work. So there are also field camps that are out in Antarctica. So how is the food getting out there? How's it stored? And who is cooking for the science and the science support that are out there in the field camps?
Well, with a field camp, there's two different types. If they're big enough to get a chef, then they have an official chef that cooks their meals for them. They usually will work 6 days out of the week, and then on their day off, the community at the field camp will work together to make the food, or they'll cook leftovers. The food is taken with the science group, so if they do a traverse to get all their gear there, that's where the food goes. If it all gets flown in, that's how it gets there. Pretty much everything they eat is frozen. They might see freshies once in a season if they're lucky. Mm. If a field camp is too small to have a chef, then it's just the people there responsible for their own food, which oftentimes ends up being a lot of dehydrated and frozen, not the type of food that I would really brag about.
So tell us a little bit about Mr. Frosty and how you think people would react if he was out of commission.
Frosty Boy. Oh, man. When Frosty Boy goes down, it's a bad day. Everyone loves Frosty Boy, and there will be major complaints. I can actually say that when Frosty Boy goes down, now that I've done the paperwork side, it gets a much higher tasking priority to get someone to turn that over. Whether that's station morale or just kind of a myth, it is kind of true that when Frosty Boy goes down, everyone's sad.
Can you tell us what Frosty Boy is, for those who don't know?
Yeah, it's a frozen soft serve ice cream. It's kind of like McDonald's ice cream cone, except for a little bit better quality.
Great. And so...
And then we have...
Oh. No, go ahead.
Sorry, we also have cones and toppings to go with it. And every now and then we'll put a flavor through, so it'll be like peanut butter Frosty Boy or chocolate Frosty Boy. Peanut butter's my favorite.
So speaking of, Rebecca, what do you miss eating the most right now that you can't get on the ice?
Oh, man. So we have... either Taco Tuesday or Mexican Wednesday every week. Not both every week, one or the other. And I really miss having avocados with my Mexican food.
Ah.
We do get the avocados in sometimes, but I'm often like, man, I wish I had a nice creamy avocado to go with this. But I'm pretty lucky. I really like frozen veggies and rice, so and Frosty Boy. So my on-ice diet is not much different than my at-home diet.
Well, you are good to go. So what kind of, do you get any like weird requests when you're in the galley from some of the ice folk looking for some certain type of food that they miss?
Sometimes. We have a lot of people down here that you might describe as like meat and potatoes. So they really just want those like hearty meals, which makes sense when you're cold. So we do try and cater to that majority. But it is awesome when we get some more specialty things like, we've had Thai days and Indian food. Those are always a nice treat, a good change.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have this one type of fish on station. It's called blazing redfish, and it's this battered redfish, and it's kind of spicy. And most people down here don't really care for it, but we kind of have an overabundance of it. And we had one person who just loved it, and they would take plates and plates of it home every time we served it. We were all like, yeah, take more, take more.
Right, I guess you got to get through it somehow. All right, well, Rebecca, thanks so much for talking with us today. That was Rebecca Osgood and Liz Wyden calling in live from McMurdo Station, Antarctica. So tune in 2 weeks for another edition of the Big Fat Farm Show. I'm your host, Kelly Pettigen. Thanks for listening, and thanks for being part of the local food revolution.